Hello, listeners. Very special first ever outdoor episode of Escape from Planet. We're right by a campfire, so this is unprecedented. I'm your host, Chris, here with Teen, Jong, and Adam. What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up?
Just imagine there's like, you know, you're just sitting here with us like in the fifth seat on this rock.
Yes.
Checking out this fire.
The reason we're doing this, we are out in the Catskills on a camping weekend. We just had a big bowl of pudichiga, which is very satisfying.
Under a green tarp.
Under a green tarp. And yeah, we just had a really good weekend and we want to share it with you with this special episode, which, to be honest, we don't even know what we're going to talk about at this moment, I think, but we will go along with it. I think before we start, we have to tell all our listeners about the greatest puke in puking history.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little about how you got there?
Well, so we got up to the campsite and we're setting up the tents, setting up the tarp. The tarp was an excellent choice, Teen, by the way. And I had bought, I think, a 12-pack of Goose Island IPA and a 24-pack of Stella. So we started the drinking early. And a 6-pack of soju. So we started drinking, smoking.
I think it was smoking weed that really put you over the edge, in my opinion. Well, because we all know what it's like to smoke and drink at the same time.
Everybody's always blaming the weed.
Yeah,
because it messes with your, like,
it's a mix.
It messes with your sense of balance, so you feel dizzy.
Your stomach chemistry or something. Yeah.
But we got deep into the night, and then I had one more shot of soju.
With me.
With Teen.
Yeah.
So I'm not blaming Teen, but I chose to have it, and that was it.
The weed.
I was
enabler,
done.
Yeah.
I was, my stomach was hurting. I tried to fight it off. You know, I tried to not have to yak.
Did a little praying.
I did a little praying, but then I was like, no, I had to. And it was epic. This was one of the longest, loudest volume.
It was like
both sound and content.
He broke quiet hours for sure.
Yeah. It was like, oh, yeah.
I definitely did.
It was like the last scene in The Exorcist.
That's right. You know? Just projectile.
Yeah.
I'd never heard a sound like that before in my life. I was telling you guys while you were puking that our brains are like synthesized. You know, we all have recorded sounds that we can sample and all that. That was a new file for my brain. It was like...
I'm glad it was to be of service.
It was like you puked, then another little mouth came out and puked even more. Like a xenomorph in Alien.
It was definitely a reptilian.
So as I was doing it,
it's cold-blooded.
I'm leaned over, so I'm like balancing, but I'm like rocking back and forth.
I was afraid you'd fall into your own puke.
Yeah, so I was like, don't do a header right into this.
And I don't think you brought enough clothes to change out of that.
And as I was yakking like my guts out, Teen and Chris are just cackling it away.
Dude, I couldn't stop laughing.
Well,
man.
I was happy because you know, the three of us were by the fire. You had kind of just like
moseyed on over to the picnic table.
And you were kind of like talking to yourself because I think you were struggling, trying to keep it down for like an hour.
I was
praying.
Point, I asked John, like, is he on the phone? Because you looked like you were in distress. And I thought something bad had happened.
No, I knew what it was.
Somebody you loved or something. So when I found out you were just sick from smoking and drinking too much, I was very relieved.
I walked over to him and I was like feeling like a shaman. And I walked over to him and I guided him. I was trip sitting him and I put my hand on his back and I was like, yo, dude, my advice to you is,
oh, it's like a ayahuasca ceremony.
Yeah, I was like, just throw it up and you're gonna feel much better.
And I did, but you know, because you just, even though you know, and like I'm experienced enough that I know that if I boot, I'll feel better, but throwing up is never pleasant, so you just fight it.
But when the alternative is feeling how you must have felt, it's a relief.
Yeah, because what happened was right after that, you went to sleep, and then I don't think you woke up for another 12 hours, man.
Probably.
It was like midnight.
Yeah.
Or earlier. It was like 11.
Yeah, it was earlier. Yeah. But anyway, epic, really fun.
Memorable.
A new sound file for Chris's database.
Next morning, we're all looking for the alien baby that he gave birth to.
That's right. But it skittered away into the woods.
There were more high frequency notes to it than I expected.
It was like this. It was like you go like, you know, like in the Mario games where you can double jump. Yeah. It felt like that. You got to a level, then you went to another level.
Oh, dude. I was laughing so hard. I thought I was going to yak. There was a moment where I was like, dude, you got to stop laughing. I'm going to yak myself.
Well, and I've learned that I think the word yak is my favorite word for throwing up.
Yeah.
You learned that?
Well, I don't know if I've ever really used it that much. And then we started using it. And I'm like, that's a perfect word for it.
That's what it feels like. Yeah. Yak.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was feeling a bit afraid for John in case you puked in the tent. That would not have been pleasant.
I had it out, man. It was done.
You were empty,
it was
man.
Gone. I was yeah. empty. And, it would have been dry heaves, if anything, but I was good.
Best of all, this morning, I could not find your puke patch. It must have gotten absorbed by the soil.
Yeah.
You probably killed a lot of plants there, but, you know, cycle of life. Yeah. Circle of life. All right. All right. Things we want to talk about. I mean, I kind of joked. We were playing some kill, fuck, marry, but obviously we're not going to do that here because we'll get canceled.
No, we never played it in the first place.
Yeah. I was officially. Lying. Listeners, I was lying. All right, maybe we can start off. I mean, we haven't been looking. The good thing is we are quite out of touch with what's been happening in the world, I guess, the last day and a half. So we don't really know what's going on. But I did read an article today. You know, I was on Twitter. It was from BuzzFeed News about this guy, some 26-year-old dude, who got limb lengthening surgery for damn. $75,000 to go from 5'7 to 5'10. And actually, on the ride up here, we were talking about this article that came out on Vice, written by the same woman who broke the Aziz Ansari story on babe.net several years ago.
Oh, really?
It just so happened
same
to
woman?
Be.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was all about that Brazilian butt lift surgery. And so it was, strangely enough, a weekend of extreme cosmetic procedures. And we were just going like, what the hell is wrong with these people? Because... I mean, with the ass surgery thing, it's like the recovery time's up to a year.
What, a year?
Up 6 months to a year. And they have to go to like a facility where, because they can barely move. So,
damn.
You know, the rehab is very
intense.
Brutal. And it apparently has the highest fatality rate of any surgery, not just cosmetic, just any surgery. So I think it's because a lot of like very unethical doctors are performing it, not qualified and all
so
that.
So what's any the motivation surgery. For the...
Yeah. That's what I read.
What's the motivation for the surgery? Just to get a bigger,
just to get, I think, these what they think are aspirational figures they see on social media. Yeah. And, yeah, the sad thing was that one of the women they interviewed, like, she is, you would think, oh, they're desperate, they're, like, you know, they're having bad luck in dating, but this, one of the women, she had, like, a, you know, committed partner who liked her the way she was, but. She was doing it, and this guy, you know, in this BuzzFeed piece, you know, like, 5'7 is, like, short, but it's not, like, freak short.
It's normal,
yeah,
you know?
It's like,
it's
a normal range.
For 5'7.
You wouldn't stand out, I don't think.
Yeah, but he was going on about
it doesn't
how,
cause people distress to the, beyond, like, the somewhat shorter end of the average range, like, people I know, it doesn't cause them distress.
No, I mean, it caused this dude's.
Yeah.
This dude did, I mean.
Yeah, he was talking about how he would cry every day.
I'm gonna get my jacket.
And...
what happened to Larry?
It seemed like it was more, he had other issues going on and he thinks this is the way to make his life perfect. And it's, I guarantee you, if you're having problems like that, you know, just getting 3 inches taller is not going to solve everything. And just seems like this is what happens when you just feel like you're being just squeezed out of any sense of community or relevance or importance in society because you're just one of a bunch of faceless people and there's no real prospects for you to look up to. So you just, you want to focus on a problem you can solve and that's physical, that's easy to quantify. And like, once I figure this out, everything is going to improve.
I think parts, so here's the thing. There are parts of the world where your prospects are even worse than here. Let's not go too overboard in terms of how bad it is in the U.S. Like, still, relatively speaking, this is a good place to grow up, right? In terms of that. So I don't think it's totally just they don't have prospects. Like, part of me thinks, like, these kids just ain't being raised right. And if you don't have the parents or elders, like, guiding them, they're going to be guided by media. And these days, it's social media. That's all they have to teach them. Like, I think adults overestimate young people. They got to have someone guide them. And if you're being guided by social media, you're just going to get led in awful places, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's just about the prospects. I think it's this like continued messaging of like how narrow that line is, and if you fall off at any point, your life is over, right? Nothing but the first. Second place isn't good enough. Third place isn't good enough. Just being able to afford your own place at some point isn't good enough. You have to have the best. You have to be at the absolute top. And the thinking there is like, I don't know, is defeatist might not be the one, like an over-exaggeration of how much one's physical appearance plays a role. Yes, it plays a role. But these people, I think, often think, oh, if I had a better version of myself one way or another, and I had to compete against that version could do everything I could do,
yeah,
but more, and therefore I will never win.
What I'm saying, I agree with that.
Without it.
What I'm saying is that I think they're learning this from, it's not just social media, because I think, like, and as we know, doing this, you realize it kind of, like, feeds on itself. It's like a feedback mechanism.
Yeah.
And it finds its way into mass media, right? So it's like this feedback loop where social media is determining what you see in mass media, and then it comes back around again.
Right. Like it creates a story.
Yeah, and it's all shit. It's so bad. Like the lessons, if do you ever remember the movie Cable Guy? It was just about a guy who got raised entirely by
TV.
It's really good.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey. And
Matthew Broderick.
Oh, I thought it was about him just installing cable.
No, but
he is. That's what he does for a living.
But that's the back.
That's just the backstory.
Right. Okay,
but it's about a he was, since he was a kid, his mother just like totally was too busy for him.
Oh.
And so he just watched television. Yeah. He was entirely raised on television. So he knows everything about TV. But it didn't, I think it's like that. Okay, fine. But then on top of that, there's this like continuously degenerating culture that's caught in a really bad feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the behavior of like young people, to me, you can start seeing the effects of it. It's not good, in my opinion.
Hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of bleak. But so, that's just what I see. Honestly, it's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
And the parents are just too busy or something. You know, they just don't have, or maybe, shit. I mean, like, a lot of these parents are younger than me. Maybe they were kind of raised similarly. You know, where it was already kind of doing this to people. They just don't have. It's like, when I say they, I don't know who I'm talking about, but like, if you were to follow the culture, it doesn't teach you about like long-term things. It's all just short-term, you know, immediate. It's always like, oh, you know, like I'm caught in this. Their problems are very of the moment, like sitcom style problems that has an immediate solution.
Right.
And then you resolve the thing. It's like 50, honestly, like given all ads and shit, these shows add up to like 22 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. There's no, like, long-term storytelling. It's, like, short.
Yeah, I don't think it's for a lack of understanding the long-term views or knowing about them. I think, like you said, it's a culture thing, or maybe even a cultural value, right, in that we prioritize, as a culture, as a society, we prioritize short-term thinking. Like, we may not say that, but all of our behavior points to that.
I think it's a matter of like,
and we applaud
not,
it.
But I think it's not that we want that. It's that we don't have any adults taking responsibility for it.
I think
it just becomes that.
No, I think people have made the choice, and we continually, over and over again in society, see people making decisions based on the short-term benefit, even though it's obvious.
Yeah.
In terms of like our government policies, and in terms of our foreign policy, probably even, you know,
but people want better than that.
People want better, but I'm saying that as a society, we continue to make those short-term choices. And I think at the end of the day, that's a much stronger, you know, we could have all the parents or whatever saying, think long-term, but when everyone's making the short-term decision,
it's
like a little bit game theory here, right?
Well, like, it's also hard to like know what that even looks like if all you've seen are the short-term decisions, or like if you come from a family that didn't, you know, there wasn't the best relationship, and you're looking for something better, you haven't personally experienced it, so you don't know necessarily what to look for in like that better sort of relationship.
That's not what I mean, though. It's like I'm
making the analogy that like with society, as you said, we continue to make these short-term decisions, and then but Tim was saying people want better. I think that's true.
Yeah,
but we don't necessarily even know as society what that better would look like.
Yeah, where would it start?
Like what would be different? And so I think that I would just make the analogy.
But there are
like,
smart, mature people.
There are.
But so they're not doing it.
You just don't see them.
How much of this is because there's like this extreme of one being very condescending to young people. We saw this with, you know, all the anti-millennial kind of slogans and memes that started coming out, let's say 10-ish years ago. So there's that form of just dismissive attitude, which I think, I mean, we've seen a lot of articles come out in just the past week about why, you know, Joe Biden is doing so badly among young voters. And I think that's one symptom of it. There's this, well, you have like the oldest president in history surrounded by a lot of other old people, a party that is pretty much monopolized by like 70 plus year olds. So you have that. Yet on the other hand, there is this undue deference to not just exactly young, immature people, but that young, immature mindset where you see a lot of people kind of act like teens all over society. So I just wonder if that plays a part because, yeah, on one hand, they're pushing you away by talking down to you, like the older people. But on the other hand, they're not, sometimes like young people, they need kind of like a steady guiding hand that may be sort of a jerk parent in a way, but years later, you know, a lot of them end up thanking them. It's like the worst of both worlds.
Are we talking about like the parent trying to be your friend syndrome,
yeah,
but
so
like on a national scale?
Yeah, there's that maybe on a personal level, but then in a societal level, there's this constant condescension. So there's no guidance coming
like
from
just
anywhere.
Don't eat avocado toast as much.
Yeah,
and
that
be able to
that
afford
kind of
a house,
shit, yeah.
Right? But also like Biden purposely went out to like let these TikTok influencers and other like Instagram influencers and give them like a whole day in like the halls of Congress and in the White House.
But that was like tokenism.
Yeah,
like,
I know. But I'm just saying there would like
Olivia Rodrigo to help try to get convince people to get vaccinated. But
right.
I was like,
but there was an opportunity if you wanted to do something like that to find better young people to like, you know, use as an example.
Yeah, but his whole campaign, the theme of it was, you know, shut the hell up. You know, just
vote for
me,
I'm not Trump.
I am inevitable. That was like his whole campaign. And when you start from that,
yeah,
you have no credibility.
That's not winning you friends.
I don't know. I mean, part of me now thinks is like, what is the point of going into this? Because it's like, okay, so if you diagnose the problem, can you solve it? Because I don't think you can. See, that's a scary thing. It's like, there's a lot of things that are going on where like, even if you fully understood what was going on, I'm not sure you can reverse it. So
no, and then the next conclusion is like, okay, well then you do what you can for yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then yeah. One of the conclusions would be, okay, well then like you apply that long-term thinking and in the long run you'll be better for it.
I think you have to take a more honestly I think interesting I think you have to take a more like almost like egocentric view of things in a weird way. I know it's weird to say like we should be more egocentric
when we're just saying we're all about individualism in America.
Well, I you know, weird thing is like we hate talking about communalism and socialism and stuff, but like people are, this culture war stuff is this belief that we should have some sort of single culture.
Yeah.
So why do we believe that? I mean, I thought the whole point of America was like pluralism and, you know, tolerance and, you know, not everyone believes the same thing. But now there's this fucking battle for everyone to think the same way about everything. It's weird. I don't get it.
Some of it, I think that has to do with the fact that certain, I guess you could say political disagreements, right, result in violence. Can lead to violence, right? Like we're talking about protected classes. A lot of that came about because there was violence and,
look,
you know.
Look, whatever it is, honestly, I don't really care anymore. I just know that's what it is. Okay. And I think the solution, I don't know what the solution is, but that's the situation that we're in.
I'm saying that if there's a drive to make the entire nation stick to one particular opinion, I think that's usually where it arises from. Like nobody can be racist in this country.
Yeah.
We need to stamp out racism. And then I think that spills over into other topics. Yeah. Right, or just generally promotes that kind of approach.
Let me ask you guys this, because there, you know, with this drive to try to create a more unified culture, like
a monoculture,
something like that. Like, in your personal life, do you find it easy to be friends with people who don't share your political or cultural beliefs?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Sure.
So do I. Like,
pretty hard now.
Yeah. I sometime in the past year, I had a friend who essentially came out to me as a Republican, and he did it like you would maybe coming out as gay. And he honestly thought that I might end the friendship because of that. And I was just like...
I wouldn't give a shit.
I was like, I don't care. And
I'm like, bro, I'm thinking about voting for Trump.
I think that's one of the...
I don't know if I'll go that far.
I think that's one of the dumbest reasons to end a friendship with someone. Over.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just like a Republican, that's fine. But if he came out and be like, you know, I believe that, you know, white people are superior or something, then maybe that. But if it's just sort of like... I want low taxes and I love capitalism. I'm like, all right,
dude,
not a big deal.
About that Trump thing, I'll tell you what. I think I just realized this, that if I really believed that Trump would de-escalate the war in Ukraine, I would vote for him on that issue alone. So I would vote for him if I believed that, you know, that he wouldn't do what Biden's doing.
I suppose the push.
I think that's part of the reason why I can get along with people of different political beliefs these days, is because the issue I care about tends to be on the right, which is being anti-war.
How much of that would you be willing to accept if it, you know, because
I think it's my bottom line.
Trump did, you know, do a lot of like reverse decisions that we're helping people and put policies into place that can hurt others. How much of that would you be willing to accept for that one particular topic, the anti-war angle?
I don't know. But I think it would be I would care about that a lot.
Yeah.
The anti-war thing, yeah.
Because that's what I would see as the common counter-argument, right? Yeah. It's like, yes, you may care about this one topic.
I bring that up not because I want to talk about geopolitics or whatever, but I just bring that up because, to me, it's easy to have a bottom line, like, or it makes things easier to have a bottom line, to understand like what your bottom line is, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then I know where I'm coming from, which is like Biden is doing really dangerous shit. So I don't want that. I want someone who's going to do the opposite of that. That's it. That's all I really care about. You know?
Yeah, I kind of like it when, I mean, like, generally speaking, I would rather, you know, be with people who are on the left side of things. But I like it when people have, like, a few right-wing beliefs, because a lot of the political party platforms don't make a lot of sense. It's cobbled together because of various interest groups, you know, both on the left and the right. So when you... It's not like it logically flows. If you're too consistent, all it means is you feel very beholden to your clique. You're just holding on to a set of beliefs. But I think there are some things that just don't make sense if you are thinking for yourself.
That's the mindset of an Asian American.
Well, right. And I think Asian Americans are a prime example of that. That's why I can't trust Asian Americans who like toe. Say,
one
like,
party
say,
line or the other.
Progressive
exactly.
Line.
Yeah,
because they're not thinking about you.
They're just you're just accepting like a slate of candidates or, you know, issues that are given to you, and you're saying, I accept this because the thing I fear most, I think care most, is inclusion in the group, and I'm willing to sacrifice my own internal consistency, even other Asian Americans, to be accepted. There's a subreddit I like to just kind of lurk, stupid poll, which some people may know. It's an interesting place because it's like ostensibly left-wing, but it attracts a lot of just like disaffected right-winger types who their main thing is they really hate identity politics, which is hence their name, Stupid Poll. And they're concerned about a lot of, you know, material issues. Like, is this going to help improve my life and all that?
Mm-hmm.
There was a recent thread that got a lot of comments and was very popular, and it was calling out boba liberals. And I'm... You know, this is not an Asian dominated subreddit by any means, probably like a handful, but everybody knew what a bubble liberal was because not if even if they didn't personally know one, it's because they were of another minority group. Huh. They're like, oh yeah, we got those people too. They're like Latinos. They're like, oh yeah, it's the Latinx people. Or if they were Muslims, it's like, oh, the you know, ex-Muslim kind of atheist types who always talk down about other Muslims. You know, black people have their own, you know,
right,
whatever they call them, coons, yeah, or whatever. And everybody got it. And I thought it was really interesting how this idea is now permeating other non-Asian groups. And right, everyone gets it. Like, well, yeah, we know these types. The ones who are very sheltered from their own community, probably look down on their own community, and they'll just adopt all sorts of ideas and policies that actually hurt the communities that they purport to speak out for.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's, I don't know if mainstream might be a little far, but it's being used outside of the Asian American, yeah, context.
And what is mainstream these days anyway, right? Because like if you have some huge subreddit, not that Stupid Poll is a huge subreddit, but the mainstream really doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I guess in some ways we're ahead of the curve in that respect, right? Where it's like, like our existence here, you basically already had to start trying to like reach, you know, sort of like work with and get along with people that aren't totally aligned with you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's like the quintessential white collar experience for me. It's just being in like these like really really white dominated corporate environments.
Oh yeah.
And it's just very foreign to me, even though I was born here. But you have to learn to get along.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's a struggle. It's not like the most pleasant thing. But
absolutely.
It takes practice, but like if you're too good at it, it kind of fucks you up too.
Well, oh yeah.
So you have to balance it. Yeah. You gotta figure out how much you need to do it.
Right.
While maintaining like, okay, I'm not exactly buying this shit.
Right. You still gotta have that sense of like, this is weird.
Fuck
and
this
fucked
shit
up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're gonna do it because you,
yeah, because
you know,
it's
get
worth
paid,
it.
You know?
It's worth,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
From an egocentric point of view.
Yeah.
So I think while everyone's out there trying to fight these stupid culture battles where one side got to win, you know, I think instead of worrying so much about like, you know, this belief that one day we're all going to be one, just worry about yourself and, you know, kind of like narrow down scope of concern. Yeah, if that makes sense. That's kind of the opposite advice that people give. Because like this culture is always like telling people to be very selfless and idealistic and think about everyone, think about the world. But I think the problem is that they're not thinking about themselves enough. They're like very self-destructive.
Are you sure? But I mean, isn't that kind of, I mean, that runs very contrary to the common understanding, which is that individualism is the problem. That's why everyone's making short-term decisions,
mm-hmm,
right? Or optimizing for short-term outcomes. That's what, right?
But it's this weird form of individualism. It's not a libertarian individualism where it's like, live and let live. It's individualism of like, I need to discover the true me, and then I need to project that and influence other people with that.
Yeah.
My job is
to
make converts.
A missionary, yeah, based in individualism,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's different.
Yeah. I mean, we're like social media in a lot of ways is just trying to create mini little cults of personality. Like everyone who's like really bought into it, because you got to have more followers. And what are followers? Just sort of like if you have a cult, right? And that's sort of a messed up thing. It's like, you know, just
think about that term follower. They could have used, yeah, any other term. It could have, you know, like, with the early social media, it was friends.
Buddy.
They were your friends.
Yeah.
And
pals.
With Facebook, it was
friends.
If you're friends with someone, it's mutual. So it was never a one-way thing, but now we have, we just accept it as, well, totally normal that there's this term follower, and you are followed by these people. I mean, John, you were gonna say?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I think the format of Twitter kind of does. You are following somebody. Like they don't necessarily have to approve your follow.
Right.
Right.
But I'm saying, like, think about that term follower. Is that ever used?
A subscriber,
in a
I guess.
Good sense. It's not a good thing to be called a follower. And but
listener, what do you think would better capture
audience? You know,
audience, yeah. audience member,
or as I said, like friend. I don't know. It could
listeners. I mean,
but
yeah.
I think they deliberately did that because they were wanting to tap into everyone's increasing need to stand out in some way. Because if you're not, you are now competing not against your classmates or even your town mates, you're competing with the world.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to get lost in that, if you want somebody to care whether you live or die, you gotta amass some kind of following, thus the follower. And that's why these people who seem to be living perfectly good lives, whether they happen to be a woman whose figure, like their measurements aren't what they want, or some guy who's not quite as tall as he wants to be. In that article, they were talking about some guys who are like 6 feet and they want to be 6'3". Like, that is so irrelevant at that point. Maybe if you're like aspiring to be a model or something, whatever. But that's such a tiny percentage of people. Average person.
You need another 9 inches.
It's like it doesn't matter at that point. Three. Why are you fussing over this? But it's because you think you need to.
Yeah.
You need to be like special.
Well, it's probably maybe somebody who's got like 100 million net worth and being like, oh, but I still want to be a billionaire. Something like that.
Yeah.
I think, how about this? I think one of the problems that people have is you only ever see relationships with other people in terms of dominance or submission. Like, who's got the upper hand?
Yeah. In terms
the follower
of what?
And the follower,
yes.
Yeah.
In terms of
who's on top, who's on bottom?
In terms of like in real life, like relationships that are around you,
everything.
Or in terms of
like
media,
like the default
on aggregate,
the default relationship you have with people will always be with any one given person.
I think that's I feel like that's kind of at least an American sort of understanding
that's
of relationships. Okay,
and I think the thing that they're missing is the obvious, which is you should be equal. But they just don't understand that, I think. That's what I think from the culture. They just don't get the idea of a peer.
Yeah. They're unwilling to accept the possibility.
Yeah, that's why they can't respect other people. They're just always trying to flex on people, or they're overly deferential.
Right.
They love
like
people too much.
They go too much.
They follow them too intently. It's too much.
Because they've accepted their subordinate position. Yes. So it's like, this is my role to stand you, to come to your defense, like some celebrity, like they really need you to attack somebody who criticized them on social media.
Yeah.
And you have these.
But when the crowd turns on them, suddenly the crowd is in the dominant position, and it's just like merciless, nonstop attacking of like one person for no reason, for fun, you know? And then most people's reaction to that is like, well, fuck that celebrity. I don't care about that person. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying I care about this person, but the pylon is ugly. You know,
yeah, it can be bad.
Yeah, in and of itself. So,
yeah,
yeah. I think people just don't get the sense of equal relationship. You know,
because the math doesn't work out. Because, how can you have equal reciprocal relationships with thousands, if not tens of thousands of people?
The only social media that I know that kind of cuts against that to a limited degree is Twitter, where the follow back accounts. They end up having an even number of
What's a follow back account?
Basically, if you follow them, they'll follow you back.
Oh, so they have the same number of followers
Facebook.
As who they follow?
Essentially Facebook, but it's not permissive. Meaning you can just follow someone. They don't have to prove you. Mm-hmm. And they will just automatically follow you back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the only thing. And it's not even that great.
But that's manual. Maybe not manual necessarily, but
it is. They have to.
I'm just saying it's an individual policy. One example on social media that I know of where it's not, you know. But Twitter's pretty bad because you have the ultimate flex is to have 25 million followers and zero following.
Right. Yeah.
Like Kanye or something. Or follow one person.
And not even post and have people follow you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. I think that's why, Reddit works to a certain extent, because there is no... whatever dominance you might have over someone else is so... it's almost laughable. because it's so easy to just create and delete accounts.
Right.
It's like, oh, you're a big shot on Reddit. Like, who cares? The only person who I think got legit famous off of Reddit was Deep Fucking Value.
Yeah.
Off of Wall Street Bets. Before that, it's a, other than that guy, do you know anybody who became any sort of like cultural star because of Reddit? No, it's often it's like you're kind of embarrassed to be there in the first place. So you might as well just not. I mean, there are a lot of jerks on Reddit, but if you're a good faith user, you're there because you just want to say something that you genuinely feel and you want others to listen to it. You're not performing for anyone. You're not auditioning for like a Hulu show. You're just there in a place that half the people there are embarrassed to be associated with.
Yeah, anyway, at least just not having social media the past 30 hours has been really good.
I mean, in the last bonus pod, Philip and I, we talked about all this panic over like Elon Musk. Like, what if people just both like leftists and rightists just got so repelled off of social media and just it just became like a detente. Like, okay, let's nobody go on this anymore. it would be quite the sight.
It's hard to imagine.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Like,
I'm being way too optimistic.
Like, how would even people organize around it, you know? They're like, this is the last tweet I will send.
Really, I swear, this one.
I heard Jamila Jamil quit Twitter, but it's obviously not going to last because she's going to be back on soon. But
who's that?
You don't know who Jamila Jamil is?
No.
She's a, it's like a British, I think Pakistani actress.
Oh, yeah, the actress.
And she was in
she's hot in The Good Place.
Yeah, she's in The Good Place, but she is one of the most infamously just like identity politics poison type of activist celebrity. And says that some of the dumbest stuff. She's like appointing herself like the queen of body positivity, which is a total joke.
Like she's like,
she's like in the 0.001% of hotness
of all looks,
and just, that's what I'm talking about. And
she was the woman with the Filipino boyfriend in a Good Place.
Oh yeah, Manny Jacinto.
Mm-hmm. I never watched the show, but
it's a good show. Right.
I went to high school with Manny Jacinto. You know?
Oh nice.
Oh, shit, really?
I only found out very recently because a classmate of mine pointed that out. I went to the yearbook, and he looked so... He just blended in, so... Because, you know, it's like half my class was Filipino. So he just kind of looked like a... You know, just like another Filipino guy. And I told my friend, I think you're mistaken. He must have just quit school and took acting classes or something. But I found him. He was there. And he looks exactly the same, but he just... you know, he's not like Hollywooded out. And, you know, so... Yeah, so that's my connection to him.
More logs on the fire.
Yeah, I was going to say that as I sit here listening, looking at the fire, there's something primal to starting a fire and keeping it going. It's very satisfying.
You have to imagine like the first people who discovered fire wouldn't know how to recreate it. So they must have kept it going so that whenever they needed it, they could like take a...
Yeah, but how would they even know what to do to make it keep going?
Well, they probably figured out, hey, this like lightning struck this tree and it's fire.
Yeah.
So maybe but just keep adding more wood
tree
to
it. And then... I'm sure, you know, somebody... Ooh, suddenly started blazing. Somebody must have figured out that...
Put hey, more tree
maybe,
on it.
Maybe if you, like, rub sticks together over kindling, we do that for a while, we can do it on our own, and then it got passed
That's
down.
Right, because you'd have to come up with some method of getting that spark. There were no matches.
Yo, are we going to make those s'mores?
We will.
Oh,
after,
yeah, we
after
will.
After this is done, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
This is a free-willing conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gone all over the place.
My mind is all over on the fire.
What else is on your guys' mind?
I don't know, man.
You were talking last night about just like, this is a continuation of the last time the four of us, Adam, we swapped you out for Philip last time. But we're talking about the need for guidance, especially for like young Asian American guys.
Mm, yeah.
There's a complete lack of it, and maybe we can continue on in that thread.
Well, I mean, just to share something that I'm learning is that, you know, I do think people are not selfish enough in a weird way. I feel like people aren't, you know, taking care of themselves very well and, you know, like making good decisions and
that's evident,
shit, you know, I mean, all this stuff about individualism, but they're not really doing good things for themselves. They're all jumping off cliffs, you know, they're all heading over the same cliff edge.
Figuratively?
Huh? Yeah, figuratively, you know, but...
What's that cliff edge?
Just this, like, fame chasing, you know.
Okay, got it.
Shallow culture. And you know, YouTube—it's like YouTube's poisoned with this shit too, because YouTube's social media now.
Everyone's
promoting a channel, and everything's been televisionized. You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's not a lot of, like, honest shit on YouTube anymore. It's like, hey, click on like, make sure to smash that subscribe button. That's all you get. So
there was this Reddit thread in the subreddit I was at, and it was all about, has anyone had friends who tried to become influencers and just how sad that process was? Like, seeing people you know and possibly once respected just essentially turn themselves into like a spokesperson for whatever type of product they were trying to sell, whether it's themselves or whatever, and then they would essentially become like, you know, if your friends become part of some MLM, they're always trying to sell you something.
Well, yeah,
I've experienced that.
Yeah, it's like the same thing where they'll pressure you to like following them or liking them, and they get upset at you if you don't constantly retweet or like whatever they post.
Sure.
And just one story was about this person that this poster knew. He decided to become some kind of musician, but he wasn't very good. And, you know, he's I think he had no real musical training or talent. He just became some so-called DJ where he just rip off other people's
things. Oh, there we go.
Run them through some music program, alter a little bit, whatever. And he just started, like, basically behaving like a little kid who just wanted attention. And he would act like he had all these fans who were clinging to his every appearance. And
people like this on the way.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean.
On the way?
Yeah. On our journey.
YouTubers in
general, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah.
You know, it's not just people doing shitty YouTube channels. You know who I think was like this? Did you see Dr. Leanna Wen's meltdown on Twitter?
Oh, wait, is that posted that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
She used to, wasn't she used to be like the head Planned Parenthood?
Yes.
For one second.
Yeah.
Then she like.
She got fired.
Yeah. She got fired.
Anyway, yeah.
But it's over COVID stuff, right?
Tell us about that thread, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's, I forgot, honestly, I didn't really pay much attention to it, though. And she just went on a blocking spree, and she started blocking people like Stephen Thrasher and like pretty, you know, not, you know, nice accounts, like not shitty people, like other blue checks. Mm-hmm. And apparently they've been criticizing her because of stuff she's been saying about COVID.
Yeah.
And
what'd she say?
I don't know. I don't really care. Uh-huh. But I looked at, I mean, she's not that interesting, but I just feel like she's someone who is a doctor, but at the same time, her real job is like media influencer. Like,
that's not terribly surprising, because I heard that like doctors are very overrepresented on TikTok, from what I hear. I've seen some of that. It's interesting. They'll share some of their medical knowledge. For one thing, I learned that if you ever get stabbed, do not pull out whatever you got stabbed with out of you, because that's keeping the blood in you. So that's interesting. But I think there are a lot of, because you know who else was a doctor? Ken Jeong was a doctor. Who else? That guy, Eugene Gu. I think there are a lot of doctors who
wanted to stay a doctor, right? Hmm? You talking about Dr. Eugene Gu, the guy that,
he's
like a liberal activist guy.
That thing's over. But I think there are a lot of just, they've been like studying all their lives, and as soon as they get a little attention, they just kind of go nuts. And we've all seen that horrible Ken Jeong Netflix special where he talks about being a doctor as if it were like he was like in a chain gang breaking rocks. He's like, no, you are in a position that like 99.9% of the world dreams of being, like a successful doctor in America. You're acting like,
but they just want to get out. That's why they're trying to do other things.
I saw a video recently that I really liked. And I was surprised I liked it because it was so mundane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about this 31-year-old dentist. It was CNBC Make It. It was like that channel. And she went to University of Maryland, where I went to. And I remember her saying like her parents, her father was like a PhD student at Maryland, so they had like no money at the time. And so their landlord, both parents were working.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So the landlord
That's right.
took her to the grocery store. And she was like, yo, he just takes stuff off the shelf without looking at the price, you know, and he just buys it. And she was like, at that moment, I wanted to be a dentist. And then she got the Navy to pay for dental school. And that actually landed her a job in San Diego. So she's a dentist in San Diego, making awesome. $157K a year.
Not bad.
Everything paid for, no student debt. She's 31 years old. She's got a net worth of $750,000.
Wow.
And I thought it was cool because she was just like someone who was open about her net worth and income, which yeah. most people are not. But she yeah. was like to the thousandth, you know, $1,000.
Yeah, she's keeping track of that, man. $157,000.
She was like, this is how I got here. It's a real path. It's not a bullshit path. It's not, you know, here's how to scam your friends. This was like, right, no, here's right. how to get the Navy to pay for dental school. Here's how to save money by going, you know, in-state or take a, you know, what, scholarship. Mm-hmm, Don't go to your... You know, you find a good deal for college.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so mundane, but she is in such a happier place than the vast majority of people. Right. She's 31.
And she's a dentist. And
she's three-fourths of the way to yeah. being a millionaire.
Right.
Yeah.
And she had like simple dreams. She said she went to like a nicer high school where a lot of the kids for 16th birthday got a car.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. she was like, one of these days, I'm going to have my own car. That
yeah.
was her dream.
Yeah.
And she bought a Honda CR-V.
Nice.
But that's like the mindset that
I love that.
We're going to talk about like let's talk about Asian Americans. That's like, especially the kind of like blue check types, they'll look down on that being yeah. like,
too mundane.
No, I'm better than you because I'm a journalist or a writer. Or an aspiring actor or something like that. And they treat that with such disdain
mm-hmm.
that it's... And I think they are aping what the rest of America is doing, especially the elite white people.
Well, it's not even the rest of America. I just think it's the elite of America.
Yeah, it's a very aspirational mindset. Because I think their conceit is that I'm not being aspirational. That my parents were the climbers because they wanted a Lexus and wanted me to go to an Ivy League school. But they're doing... their own version of it, and I think it's even worse because at least there's an honesty to striving for material comfort, especially if you did not come from it. I think yeah. it's much less admirable to just be striving for peer approval and, you know, social media popularity. What the fuck is that?
I think one of the biases that privileged people have, which we always have, I think, like, relative to our position. So if we look down, whatever position we're at, when we look down, like with air quotes, we feel like a kind of pity for people. Like, ooh, you got to climb up to where I am. That's going to be rough. But I think what we miss is that climb up is like good. That's good exercise. That's good living. Like that uh-huh. struggle is actually good living. So I think people could look down on someone who's like, oh yeah, I'm a dentist, I make $157K, and they're just like, ah, oh, it's so boring, you know, follow yeah. your dreams. And you kind of feel...
But her dream was to be a dentist.
No, but what I'm saying is like, you could easily interpret that to be like, oh, this is what happens when you grow up in a lower middle class family or whatever her situation was.
Right,
and,
right.
you know, I like her, I respect her, but it's a kind of pity. Whereas I'm like, no, actually, she's had a fucking great life, you know? She's like... She did it all herself. She's probably... She looks at everything that she made. She's like, oh, this is her doing.
Right.
She's not fucking over anyone. She's like, you know...
She's a dentist. She's helping people.
Yeah. She's helping, like, you know, people in the Navy with their teeth.
Yeah.
I feel good about that. So, I don't know. There's not enough glorification of the mundane like that, you know? Everyone's glorifying just, like... Just really... It's just all get-rich-quick shit, man. Yeah. What the fuck? I mean, it's just fucking... You know what it is? It's boring.
Not even get rich quick. It's like, and not even get famous quick. It's like get ephemerally popular for a millisecond quick.
It's not even your 15 minutes of fame. It's like your 5 seconds of fame. Now.
And I think a lot of these times it's
just
like,
so desperate.
It doesn't even matter if it's for something good. Like if I get if I become like a meme, that's good. At least people know me, and it is. I think it's a sign of desperation that if others, strangers, don't know who I am, then I might as well not exist because this world is getting too big for me. It's getting scary, and if not, I will just get sucked up in this black hole and just be lost to, not just history, but like right now, and. Maybe my own like parents will forget about me. It's very
That's just people who just don't have any fucking thing to do. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything to do, so they just blow all their time doing that shit. They're not busy with something that's yeah. worthwhile, mm-hmm. you know? If you're busy with something that's worthwhile, life becomes very simple. It's just like, okay, my next step is this. My next step is that.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about this shit, you know? But everyone's not willing to... I'm overstating this, but I think, like, the direction that the culture is going in is, like, people are not, you know, taking their own steps. They're watching everyone else, seeing where they're going.
Uh-huh.
And following, you know, adjusting themselves to follow them.
Yeah.
Out of a sense of belonging or relevance or whatever.
Or just, like,
and if you're not relevant and you don't belong to this group, you're just following along. You're just a follower.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, before we were talking about, like, short-term thinking, I think there is, like, a deep fear mixed with a lack of respect for any kind of thing that takes long-term practice and skill. That it's like, okay, maybe if I work hard at it, I'll get good at it. But by that time, I'll be, I don't know, let's say you're a teen, like, oh my God, I'll be 30 by then. It's like, I need it now. I need to explode right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, we love the idea of talent, right? Just having sort of this innate skill that you never had to work for. But yeah, I agree. Like, we don't value
I'll say this about us. You know, like, one of our, one of the guys who founded Planet with us, Q,
he's a dentist.
He's in dental school now.
Yeah.
And when he's almost done, right?
No, still think he's in the middle of it, I think.
Really?
But I remember when he told us, everyone was like, yo, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking great.
Great, man.
We started telling him stuff like, oh, if there was, like, a spaceship, like, that had to escape, like, a dying Earth, you'd have to have a dentist on there. Right.
Or even in a zombie apocalypse, a dentist would be a good person to have.
Yeah, because I thought, like,
you'd be able to take care of your oral health.
You know, whether dentistry is a, quote, cool or glamorous field, it's not the point, you know? And I think he was saying that, too, like, because he's pretty radical politics kind of guy.
He is.
But he, you know, he was talking about how having a line of work that, you know, was useful or helpful, you know, was his goal.
Right.
Yeah.
That just sounded right. I was like, yeah, that sounds absolutely, like the right thing to think.
Remember that scene in Castaway when Tom Hanks has to use a figure skate to give himself a tooth extraction?
He has
like a cavity.
Sure.
And he can, like, no longer eat anything. So he has to take it out. But it's like in the back of his mouth.
Oh.
So he has this skate, one of which he's using as an axe, puts it in his mouth, takes a rock. And yes, it's a brutal scene, but that's the world without dentists.
Yeah.
That's so we'd have to resort to using, like, the rock that John was using to put all our stakes
in
down.
We'd
have to give ourselves a tooth extraction.
I'd end up slicing my cheek open.
Yeah.
I think also maybe some of the urgency that we're seeing is how we overvalue youth. You know, we have those 30 under 30 lists and this and that. And like,
talent and youth.
Do you see how Madonna looks these days? It's very sad.
Like, it's not enough to achieve whatever you want to achieve when you're 40. Yeah,
country that they're favored is because the 18 to 35 demographic is the easiest demographic to market to.
Yeah.
That's it. To literally the most impressionable, you know, financially stupid people.
Right.
Is 18 to 35, and then they get wise. And then once you get wise, they're like, okay, fuck off.
Yeah,
you know, we'll throw you a wealth management commercial once in a while, you know. Whatever, we'll throw a mortgage ad at you.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many books I've read, like novels, and I think I'm like, if this person just took a little bit more time, maybe finished it about 5 years later, it might have been somewhat decent. But it's pretty clear they rushed it out because whatever publishing house, like, we need like a, you know, young hot. I mean, not like physically hot, but, you know, just like buzzy
popular
writer. This person fits the demographic profile we need. And this story is very with the times, whatever happened, usually kind of like social justice-y in the past couple of years. And it comes out and it's like, it's just, it feels like something out of a undergrad writing workshop. And it's just terrible.
Yeah, it's a sad state, man. I don't know. I'm glad I didn't grow up in this era.
Yeah, without social media at all.
Yeah, like, we had real friends.
Yeah, like, I didn't even have, you know, cell phones weren't something you could really get until, like, high school.
Yeah.
Actually, John, like, was it you who asked last night, like, the digital versus analog thing?
Yeah.
Was it you who asked it?
Yeah, I did.
Because I'm thinking, because you said you re-asked
that question.
I asked whether or not, you know, because we all grew up lived in an analog world, and then saw the digital world.
What do you mean by
come.
That? Like tech, like the
basically
media?
pre and post internet.
Yeah, pre and post.
You know, pre and post internet.
Okay. Yeah, like what? Like once AOL. You know.
I thought you meant like computers.
No.
Okay.
No.
Internet. Got it.
You know, like we didn't have pagers to keep track of us, or like cell phones, right? Like you had to use a home phone to call somebody. That kind of thing. You know, to be fair, maybe it's specific to my experience of like where that delineation is, but I think pre-modem, pre-computer, pre-modem to having access to the internet, the World Wide Web. And the question was just, what do you think was more formative to your sense of self or your sense of identity or who you are? The analog set of experiences or
pre-internet
digital
set of experiences, right? Huh? You're saying like pre-internet.
Sure, let's go with pre-internet versus post-internet.
But you said digital because of various things, but I think you and I are the same age. I don't think whatever we, and obviously the digital has been very influential for me as well, but it was all built on a framework of, you know, the vast majority, if not the entirety of our formative years, let's say, you know, adolescence to like early 20s, was pretty much in the analog world. Like we had early Facebook, but that was very bare bones to what we have now. And whatever importance that the digital world has had on us, and I agree, it's been very important, especially like Planet wouldn't have happened, as you said, without social media. But that was all, there's already an existing blueprint for the way we think.
So I would say we are not a social media driven thing.
No, just digital, like we connected.
Yeah.
But like our accounts, we don't really mind our social media accounts.
We don't at all.
We neglect our social media accounts.
Yeah, we totally do.
We get like 12 likes for posting an episode. I don't give a shit. Who cares? Our download numbers are way higher than
that.
So we're definitely not social media driven. I think we're kind of sort of anti-social media. I mean, I'm not, because I'm on Twitter all the fucking time.
But. Personally.
No, but you're right. Our Instagram account is not active at all.
At least
our Twitter account is not
shitty,
active.
Twitter's shitty, but it's a little bit more real to me, a little bit more real than Instagram and
because it's not
TikTok.
So curated. It's more just like send it.
Yeah, it's just tweeting thoughts that you have.
Yeah,
you know, it's not really like trying to make yourself look great.
Yeah.
So,
I say the reason I say digital or like post internet is that yes, a lot of, you know, we live in the analog world. No shit, but.
I'm saying we grew up in the analog world, and our most formative years from like our teens to early 20s was deeply rooted there. So no matter what happens afterwards, we can't go back and change that.
I don't know. Okay, well, one, I had pretty early access to the internet, and so maybe that's a part of it.
Too. Wait, how early are we talking about?
I
started having it around fourth, fifth grade. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay.
But so I didn't have it till college.
But remember, like when we first had it, I don't know about you, but our server is like limited to like 30 hours a month. If you went over that, you had to pay extra. Obviously, tied up your phone line, so even if you could be on all day, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then it really wasn't until very late high school I had any kind of social media. It wasn't even Facebook. It was like some crappy local social media. And then go to college, it's Facebook, but again, it's very limited. It's basically just your school. It wasn't this global thing.
Oh, no, I would say in that respect, I was like way more online. You know, I was like joining IRC chats and finding F serves and downloading shit and pirating games.
For real.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on forums too and downloading stuff. And
I mean, I just went very, very deep in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like a latchkey kid in digital form.
So instead of cable guy, you were internet guy.
Yeah, like a lot of like how to navigate life, I like Googled, you know, or I talked to people online that I knew. Like, how do you tie a tie? What do you even look for?
But you're not like a guy who has like fallen into the internet. You use it as a like sort of like a aid or tool.
It's like a giant encyclopedia that comes to me.
Yeah. And you can meet people on it.
Which I think that's what a lot of people thought it would be. Just like an encyclopedia that you can always go to and it's always updating.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a difference. I would say I'm a pretty online-tuned person. But a lot of things I seek online is a means to an end of what I've idealized by growing up in an analog world. Whereas I think for a lot of younger people who've known nothing but the digital life, that is in and of itself the end. For instance, if you're like in school, your online friends are your friends.
Sure.
Whereas for me, it's either these are the people I wanted to be friends with whom I knew in real life,
yeah,
but for whatever reason, didn't get to know them,
yeah,
or eventually I want to meet these people and have the kind of friendships that I am used to for most
yeah.
of my life.
Yeah. Like, I got exposed to a lot of... I think for me, maybe the experience is a little bit different, where I got exposed to a lot of things that my friends, you know, or people I knew around me, my immediate surroundings, did not know about or would, you know, didn't bring up. And I would instead take those things to them, right? And so the internet was just like this giant discovery zone of whatever. I mean, especially in the 90s, like, the internet was fucking wild. Like, mm-hmm. you just found all sorts of shit out there. And you would just... yeah, I don't know. And so I get what you're saying. And I think definitely there are parts of me where the analog plays a larger role, right? Like the amount of sports I've played, you know, and all those experiences and lessons, blah, blah, blah. But it's really hard for me to not say that being online and, you know, the digital world has had a really significant impact on, like, the things I know and like how I've thought about things, concepts that I've run across, and trying to apply it to my life as well.
Under what, 60 can say they haven't been influenced. Yeah,
but I mean, that's why I was making a binary choice. Like, mm-hmm. If you had to pick one of the two, which of the two would it be? Mm-hmm. The answer may change, you know, for younger people.
The problem is that you're just fundamentally not digital.
As sure.
Your reality is not digital.
Of course.
You know, so it's kind of like, are you real or virtual?
I mean, no, yeah. I mean, of course, I'm not virtual. I'm real.
Not you. I mean, people.
I mean, just
like the question.
Just
the question,
yeah,
is,
I mean, humans.
That I interpreted is, are you guys feel more real or virtual? I think I feel more real, you know?
Oh, sure. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Meaning, like you said, the internet is not where everything ends, right?
Yeah.
It's just a medium. It's just like a tool. But people who get lost in it, that's the people who start putting screws in their bones and shit. That's fucked up. So that heightening thing. So, I don't know. See, at the end of the day, man, it's very simple. You just sit and eat a bowl of Buttigieg with some friends. Honestly, it's that simple, man. You know how, like, you know, okay. Just on one hand, like, eating dinner outside with you guys is, like, it's nice, right?
Yeah.
But how much is it really worth? It's like a nice memory.
Uh-huh.
But weigh that in against, like, all the social media hours you've had for the past several months.
Okay.
And which would you take?
Sure.
I would take the Buttigieg.
Yeah, I would
too. Of course,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would
that's,
too.
That's like, we ate for like 45 minutes. I would take that over hours on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe you know, evaluating that question differently.
Yeah.
Right? There's also plenty of like real life hours where I didn't really get much out of it. And I would, you know, maybe value some digital experience more, but
I'm just saying that I don't know, like, even if, like, people, even if we're trying to vlog this, I know we're kind of half-in because we're pod, but, like imagine if, like, we had a whole fucking, like, semi-professional camera crew there to, like, light the, you know, and then put it on YouTube for likes or whatever. It just ruins the whole experience.
No, like, we were talking about the double slit experiment earlier. It's like, once you're observed, we behave differently.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Absolutely,
same thing.
Yeah.
It would ruin it. It would be, I mean, even us trying to, like, take pictures, like, for that, you know, a few seconds,
it's unnatural.
You are diverting the natural course of this event.
Yeah, and,
yeah.
I'll take some of that.
Yeah.
To some extent, I don't mind documenting it.
Yeah, yeah,
I
of
want
course.
To, but
yeah,
just,
we want
you don't
want
to ruin the whole thing.
But if it's like basically a surveillance project,
yeah.
Oh man, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to be like overly backlash this and just be like, yeah, no, I think it's cool to take pictures of your. Everyone used to do that.
Yeah,
it's a, you know, but. To turn it into, to do things specifically
for that purpose,
that is, can't be good.
Yeah,
you make
I've
different
heard
decisions
stories.
About what you're doing, you know, and
yeah.
I've heard stories of, you know, like those YouTube couples who are like professional couples, you know, they're just, they're lifestylers and stuff. And they would, people would say, yeah, well, you go on vacation, yeah, every second is like plotting out the best angles, the best lighting, and it's, you don't actually get to enjoy the vacation. It's like when you really, let's say you're like a famous politician or pop star or something, and you go to all these great cities to do all these appearances and everything, but you never actually get time to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but you're not even rich and famous, really.
Just, like, just sad.
At least if you're Beyonce and you're in Europe, you're at least Beyonce in Europe. But if you're John and Cindy or whatever on YouTube, and you got like a decent following, you can make a, you know, year to year for a while, you can do it, and you can't even enjoy all these nice vacations. Like, what the hell are you doing it for?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, it's been a bit over an hour. I think we can start winding it up. I am getting a craving for s'mores. That fire looks very crackling, and I could use some.
That's the best one when there's something that you kind of forgot about. Yeah. Like s'mores. Well, and someone's like, "Yo, you guys want those s'mores that we got?" And I'm like, "Oh shit, we prepared, ready."
All right. Any closing thoughts you guys want to get off of?
Would I have thrown up if there was a camera there? Yes, I would have, because I really needed the yak.
That sound would have gone viral.
Maybe you just like ran
and
away.
I would have fulfilled my life.
Yeah, it's been nice, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening, listeners. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Someone turn on the light so I can turn this off.